Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
Red and gold. The East Bay has always
Kevin Durant was getting the All-Star game because of the injury. Mark, Joseph, and Clemens will not be having the All-Star Game Hall of Fame. And David Ortiz, the goody-goody guy, is the only guy who will be inducted to Hall of Fame in 2022. Major League Baseball still does not have a good fucking agreement. We'll take a break and come back with last week's news. Take a break. mighty John Bonnie, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I don't want to make you wait. 1969, solid gold. NFL playoffs will be tomorrow afternoon. I'm picking the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. And this is the reason why. Kansas City Chiefs and the 49ers both have something in common. Score defense. The Kansas City Chiefs has a better quarterback. Now, the Bengals have a good quarterback, but the Chiefs has a better one. Patrick Mahomes will be one of the first quarterbacks to take a team to the Super Bowl 3 times in a row. Not many people have done that. Okay? The Buffalo Bills, Tim Kelly. The Green Bay Packers, Bart Starr. The Pittsburgh Steelers, Bradshaw. Dallas Cowboys, Troy Aikman. They're the only ones that have done it. Three times, the Patrick Mahomes can walk into history doing this. I know people are throwing a fit. Because Patrick Mahomes is the wrong color. He's the best quarterback I've ever played right now. Can't deny it. All four playoffs last week ended on the last play. Repeat it again. All four playoff games ended on the last play of the game. When did it happen before? Never. The Niners play the L.A. Rams. It's NorCal against SoCal. For those of the East Coast, NorCal means Northern California. Versus SoCal means Southern California. And by the way, it's an 8-hour difference. Yeah. 8-hour drive from San Francisco to L.A. Ain't no give and go thing. So, people are losing their minds out here. Because of NorCal, SoCal thing. Yesterday afternoon, there was a caravan, down Route 1 and I-80 down to L.A. There were three airplane loads of minor vans going to L.A. A website stated that SoFi Stadium will be filled with 60-40 Niner vans. Last time it was a large contingent of Niner vans down in L.A. We will see the bar right. In London, the Niner vans travel well. Also, being in California, guess what? They're going. It would be a shame if the Rams lose in their home stadium and host the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. Moving on, we'll get to the intricacies of the they got a 3-year contract, and I bet you, that the Dallas Cowboys are going to end up with John Payton. I may be wrong, but that's what I'm thinking. On Thursday, the U.S. Congress will say they need a round table for the Washington Football Club. With alleged allegations, the day after the team changes their name, the Washington Football Club will have a new name after February 2nd. The Washington Redskins will no longer exist. Big Ben retires for the Steelers finally after 18 years. The longest player with one team. And their news out that Mr. Brady, Mr. 12, Mr. TV will also retire from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. There's only one man standing of the old school left, and that's Aaron Rodgers. The only one left, Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers. The NFL will continue to turn as the Chicago Bears are Indianapolis Colts defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus as their new head coach. The Broncos are Green Bay Packers, the offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett, as the new head coach, which is leading Marines that Aaron Rodgers will be wearing orange and blue next year. I think next year will be last year Aaron Rodgers. So, in the past 3 years, you had Drew Brees, Roethlisberger, Brady, and next year Rodgers will all retire within 3 years. So the new kids on the block will take over. That's reality. Jeff Fisher is the guy who messed with the Carolina Panthers. And the new job, guess what? This is the name of the Michigan Panthers. He can't get away from that Kansas. We'll take a break and go with the NCAA next.
You lost a very good man.
guys, think it over. NCAA, there's a new ranking in the NCAA basketball rankings. Auburn, number one. Gonzaga, number two. Arizona, number three. The Baylor Bears, number four. And the Kansas Jayhawks, number five. On the ladies' side, the Gunners, number one. The Stanford Cardinals, number two. North Carolina State Wolfpack, number three. The Tennessee Volunteers, number four. And the Louisville Cardinals, number five. And this week's rankings of the NCAA basketball. MEAC, the Norfolk State Spartans, travel to take on the South Carolina Lady Bulldogs. The men will follow the ladies after the ladies' games at 2 o'clock Eastern Time. Missouri Valley. Lady Redbirds beat the Missouri State Bears 52-51 to take over first place in the Missouri Valley Conference. The Lady Cardinals led the second place with a 53-41 victory over the Lady Braves of Bradley. The SIU-ISU game was postponed today. The Southern Illinois University-Indiana State game will be rescheduled. By the Lucas, the men's team traveled to Chicago, and they play Loyola of Chicago Ramblers in a home series this weekend. In the swing, the Tigers of Grambling take on Texas State, while the Southern University Jaguars defeat the Devilettes of Missouri Valley State and take over second place in that conference. Pac-12, the second-ranked Lady Cardinals take on the California Golden Bears of Berkeley this weekend. The game Sunday has been postponed. It will be rescheduled at a later date. The Cal Stanford game postponed, the ladies' game will be rescheduled. The undefeated Arizona Wildcats men's team go and play Arizona State today in the Battle of Arizona before both of the schools go travel to L.A. and play UCLA and USC later on this week. We got scores again. We got scores up here. Let's see what we got up here. We got Davidson beating LaSalle 39. The two Blue Devils take on the Cardinals. They beat them 34-65. The Orange Frogs of TCU beat the Tigers of LSU 77-68. Michigan State beat Michigan in the Battle of Michigan 83-67. The number one Auburn Tigers beat Oklahoma Sooners 86-68. And the Blue Jays go down again. The Green Blue Jays lose to the Musketeers 74-64. And the Missouri Tigers lose to the Iowa Cyclones pretty good. I like their center. The Iowa Cyclones 67-50. On the ladies' side, the Cyclones also win. Lady Cyclones 86-65. And the Baylor Bears, Lady Bears beat the Virginia Mountaineers Gremlins, the Improve, and my boys, the New York Raiders, the Blue Shirts, second place. Surprise with a new group of players. The Blue Shirts go try to split the two Florida teams. The Colorado Avalanche are on a roll. They want to get that night as they lead the West over the St. Louis Blues and Nashville Predators. The All-Star Game, both in the NBA and NHL this week, as the dog days begin. The makeup games will be made up during the Beijing Winter Olympic Games. Make up the hockey games that they were supposed to play during that time. On Thursday, Evander Kane, the ex-San Jose Sharks, will be playing with the Edmonton Oilers the rest of this year. If the league grants his permission. The NBA tonight is a big one. Big game tonight. The Golden State Warriors take on the Brooklyn Nets. When Draymond Green may be out for the rest of the year because of this herniated disc. Lower leg problems, that's because of this. KD will be out because of a leg strain. And Lord knows what Kyrie was doing. Both teams are chasing the conference championship. We will see. Last week in the LPGA was the Elton Grand Virginia champion, Daniel Kang. Number one, Daniel Kang. Win by one stroke as he is starting off this year like he did last year. Daniel Kang is number one ranking. This week is the Cambridge Boca Raton in Boca Raton, Florida. It should be a second round by now. I gotta get scoring on that one. Next week they continue to be in Florida with the Drive or Championship in Florida before they move up north. PGA is the America's best champion in San Diego as Hudson Swafford wins the first tournament of the year. They're ending the Farmers Insurance Open today because of the NFL tomorrow. They move the finals up one day. WTA is the Australian Open as we get down to the final weekend of the Australian Open. It will be over on Sunday afternoon with the Nadal Medvedev men's final. The Bahrain Grand Prix will be on March 20th in a Formula One. And yes, Lewis Hamilton will be taking another year in the Formula One Championship. It's going to be interesting because you have three new teams in Formula One. I want to see if Max Verstappen can hold on to his ground this year. Take a break.
Oh, so long. Yeah.
No cow, no cow battle. making their over. We got bubble the ball. We not making intentions. And we all know. We all know about Matthew Stafford. I really believe that Matthew Stafford will be in a better place in L.A. He's going to be nothing in L.A. I know we have problems in Detroit, but you have a better team. You need to be a better quarterback. Hey, not. So like I said, I'm picking the Niners and Kansas City tomorrow. And it'll be a Niner Kansas City Super Bowl in 2 to 3 weeks. And that would be interesting to see Garoppolo against Mahomes. I want to see how many Rams fans are going to be here tomorrow night, because I would not let any team take over my home court. There's no way in the world. You had the Raiders. You go up there in Oakland with a Raiders number one, you get your butt beat. And you would never go to the Oakland Coliseum with a different jersey on, other than black and silver. That's the way it was back then. Today it's like, oh well, let's go. What are you doing? And I want to talk about the Rooney Rule. Because trust me, I am not in love with this Rooney Rule. I'm not. And here's the reason why I'm not. There are too many good black assistants and good black offensive coordinators and not be head coaches. And like I said at the beginning of the show, this is their chance to correct this. I also said that Jerry Jones is going to throw a monkey wrench at this thing. Because Jerry Jones says what he does. The thing. And the Rooney Rule. It's true that minority coaches get an opportunity to be interviewed, just interviewed, not required in a job. And the teams fall down on that. The Niners, the 49ers, the Detroit Lions, and Oakland Raiders have violated the Rooney Rule. And they were fine. They were fine, but they didn't care. The teams can either dance around this rule and make excuses for not even interviewing minority coaches as the interim commissioner of the NFL. You guys stop this. The Miami Dolphins, Jacksonville Jaguars, Minnesota Vikings, New York Football Giants, Houston Texans, New Orleans Saints, gold and the evil was black. If I was in New Jersey, I would not be going there. Sorry, you stink. Yeah. 14 prospects were white and 10 were black. I want to see how many get hired. It's crazy. This is craziness. And the National Football League is the better than this. I got my boys in the house. I got my boys in the mix. We got government.
It's all good, G. I know. It's all good. What's up, G?
Michael,
you
in the house?
Is Dr. Evil in the house?
I woke up trying to go to the bathroom, and a reindeer walked by me and said, excuse me, and closed the door. I still can't get it yet.
Oh, God.
Michael,
I was
the condition of the weather in the back east.
Brother, it's bad. I know Reggie drives for a living, but I'm telling you, the roads are bad with a capital B-A-D. You really can't get anywhere. The drifts continue to add up, and it's almost immovable getting out of here. If you didn't do what you had to do yesterday, you shit out of luck, bro.
You get that bad. Reggie, I know you're an ex-Cowboy fan.
Yes, sir. Proud of it.
Jerry Jones is the idol about today. Jerry Jones is going to screw this up again. And what I mean is this. He's going to try to get Sean Payton to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
If Sean Payton gets that job, he deserves to get screwed. You know, I'm just going to say, Garrett, you know, Garrett, I'm just going to say this. As much of a control freak Jerry Jones is and a racist and a piece of trash he is, Sean Payton wants to go dance with the devil. After the first tip, he got embarrassed and kicked to the curb with Bill Parcells, then he deserves it. You know, he ain't going to be able to pick the player. The team is unachieving. And one time I got agreed with Screaming A. Smith. Why in the half times we talking about the Dallas Cowboys being relevant next year? We done seen this dance since a Shakespeare play. Always a tragedy.
It's like,
again.
It's like
Mark McCarthy has been a joke, right? I mean, come on, tell him, Mike. We've seen this dance before. Why are even people talking about the Dallas Cowboys? It's a joke, man.
That's
you
right.
Done seen this act before. Help me out, Mike.
That's right. You're right. But you know what? I thought what you were going to say was that he was going to try to get Brady to come out of retirement for one more year. I can see it.
Brady!
Because Jerry Jones,
Jerry
Jones wants more than anything to win, but he wants to win his way. And I'll tell you this because I saw my
own eyes.
The day that he won the game with the ex-Oklahoma coach, y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
I can't even remember either. But the point was, when he won in that press conference, I had a chance to speak to him briefly, and I said,
Jimmy Jones,
and the other coach, the one after Jimmy.
Try to get it done again.
The old Oklahoma coach. Anyway, no matter what, after the game was over, I said, it must be a nice feeling to stick it to everybody and let them know that you did it your way. And he looked at me and smiled. And I was like, oh, yeah, I get this. You know, the coach was nothing more than a mouthpiece, and he really didn't do much. Dallas was very talented, and they should have won. But in Jerry's world, all those things don't mean anything. It's about imagery. If he could somehow get Brady to unresign for 1 year and be their coach and groom the next white boy hero that he wants, he'd be happier than a pig in shit. Now, I don't think Brady would do it. There's nothing to prove. But the bottom line is, in this society, when it comes to white folks and non-white folks, there always has to be a shut-the-fuck-up moment. And I'm not saying this just to people of fame, because the actual act is the profanity. What I mean is, white boys will tell you rock guitar is their instrument. They can tell you about all the great guitarists, blah, 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 all of this shit. But when they're faced with a moment that makes them back the fuck up, they shut up. Eric Clapton can't tell me on his best day that he can play better than Jimi Hendrix. And he knows that. So when Jimi Hendrix has proven to be a better guitarist, all the Clapton lovers shut the fuck up. See, now we don't have an equivalent like that in football, but societally, we have equivalencies.
Yeah, we have.
Every
this is the thing about black athletes.
Yes.
Black athletes, when they go on the field, they know they got to do their best every time.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Every single sport. Serena Williams, Ennis, Lewis Hamilton.
Formula One racing. Yep.
Baseball. Barry LeBron. I don't care what you say about Barry LeBron Bonds. That fool can hit the ball.
Everything in our society, everything, in everything we do, there's somebody that wants to say, we can't do it as well. And we know that's not true. But they make a case for it because they want to bring home the point that even in the games people play, white people are superior to black people. And we know that's not true. And when we do have to shut the fuck up moment and tell them that, they shut the fuck up. And then they say, oh, no, wait a minute, what about this guy? You know, it's never over for them. It's never over for them because they know they can put up all the equivalencies they want. Ultimately, you still have to show. Because if Brady's won 10 out of, if he's won 7 out of 10 Super Bowls, that's still less than Warren Moon, who won 5 out of 5 Grey Cups. But never mind all that, you know. Great cup? Okay.
They're losing their minds. You know why? Because Patrick Mahomes is getting ready to do a historical moment.
This is true. That's right.
He's getting ready to go to the Super Bowl 3 times. And only 3 quarterbacks have ever done that.
Yep.
But, so they're losing their minds. Here we go.
You know what? I would love to be at the Mahomes' dinner table where it's just him and his pop. And his pop is telling him, you know about the shit I went through in baseball. You know all the years I spent there. You came out here and you're ready to deal. You know what you're supposed to do. I don't have to tell you.
Yep.
And you know that they're going to remind you. So,
yep.
Again, I don't have to tell you. All you got to do is be who you are. And that game against Buffalo, he was perfect.
He threw
And he did it effortlessly. No sacks, no fumbles, no picks. His 15 uniform was just as clean as all get out. And he carved them up.
Here we go. You have Drew Brees retiring last year, right?
Yep.
Yeah, Ben Roethlisberger retiring this year.
Yep.
The possibility of Mr. Brady retiring this year.
Right.
Next year, we all know that Mr. Aaron Rodgers will be out. After this
yep.
year, he can't go anywhere another year.
Right.
So mm-hmm. that means the big four will be gone. And I want to see who they put in their places. We got to throw in the mix.
They can't afford to put anybody in their place because whoever they're trying to replace just ain't that good. Now, with this Super Bowl coming up, Matthew Stafford gets put out on Front Street. All of them. That also means, in spite of the year he had, he still has a losing record as a quarterback. Meaning, the boy is shit. And we know because he's not. That's right. Because he knows he ain't shit. The NFL is grasping at straws, trying to find a poster boy. They don't want to be
wrong. They got their poster boy out. They got their
about Tom's future. Without getting into the accuracy or inaccuracy of what's being reported, Tom will be the only person to express his plans with complete accuracy. He knows the reality of the football business and planning calendar as well as anybody, so that should be.
Interesting.
So it sounds like it might have been a premature ejaculation from the
yep.
from the NFL folks
mm-hmm.
in regard to before, but see again, it speaks more to being first than to being accurate. So,
right.
But it is what it is. I was actually watching the Caribbean. Series today. And
okay.
the role came along, and then I went over to NFL Network, and they the predictable. They were speculating. It looks like they actually woke up Charlie Weiss out of his slumber
no
to
shit.
To speak on it. And Scott Peel, all the whatevers.
But, if he's going to retire, fine. If he doesn't retire, no, look. Whatever. Just, we'll see what's going to wind up happening. The only thing is it means is that we're probably going to have to do this dance again at some point if this is just a thing of premature or what have you. But the timing of it, I will admit the timing of it was kind of weird, which sort of tends me to think that maybe this was a thing of just a little, reporting it just a little too soon. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
You know what surprised me this week? Really surprised me this week? The East Bay, I was playing earlier in the show, East Bay and the West Bay. The West Bay is 9 and red. It's always been 9 and red. The East Bay is the black and silver. For years, black and silver.
Okay.
Mom, this week, I saw more red than I ever seen in the East Bay ever.
Well, I think it's safe to say, we're in a front running society too. And let's face it, the Raiders are even the last year that they were in Oakland, I think even most of your hardcore fans knew, they're gonna leave again. And I think that's I think they looked at them and the A's as, hey, they're gone.
When the Raiders had to play in 82 when they left to go to LA the first time, Raider fans stayed loyal. But Raider fans stayed black and silver.
Mm-hmm. That was that, for
this
lack of
time,
a better word, that was it. It's their night, I akin it to, his way. I'll use myself as an example. When they had the strike back in 81, it was tough. I mean, I was able to go through some bunch of minor league games, but it taught me that, hey, they can do this at any time and what have you, and you're never in control. And I think that's basically how the Raider fans looked at it even when they came back, but even more so those last few years because, they made it pretty clear that they want, number one son basically wanted to try to manipulate the city even more to get them to stay. But his mind was made up, I think the ignorance of a lot of folks is that they think these moves just happen just like that. No. Even when they...
And they
capitulated to them being the number one tenant, even though they had, left and what have you, they still wanted more. When I watched the NFL versus Al Davis thing all over again, I had forgotten about the whole thing with Irwindale as well. He basically stole money from Irwindale. In a sense. So I think by the time this move came, the fans have just been like, hey, loyalty is a two-way street. And this guy's been jaywalking for the last 3 years. So,
you ain't lying.
No, I mean, look, there's still going to be fans that are going to have that emotional hold or what have you. But I think for the most part, there are a lot of fans that are just like, hey, you can kiss the saddest part of my ass now.
Yeah, you know what, Gary? I'm going to ask you.
It was just weird.
Gary?
It was just weird going to the door.
Hold on, Gene. I got to ask you straight up.
I was ready to go. Wait a minute.
Gary,
you're as loyal as your options.
Yes. I got to ask you, Gary, for as long as you've been a faithful Raider fan, for as long as you've been toiling with the silver and black, you know, have you ever felt like you got disrespected or kicked to the curb because of the actions of the front office?
Yes. In the year they went to L.A.,
mm-hmm.
I was a very hit leader man.
Okay.
I was mad because of the way they did it. It was like,
all right,
I'm gonna make money. I'm gonna leave you. I'm gonna make money anyway.
Okay.
Like, after all those years of me supporting you, you gotta be kidding me. And I think Tony's right. Because when they came back here, it wasn't the same anymore.
I mean, literally once bitten, twice shot. And see,
yeah,
that, you know, the other thing, you know, again, to reference the 30 for 30, it was interesting because, you know, the funny thing is the Indianapolis move, the Phoenix move,
yeah,
the Cleveland move was never but see they didn't get the 2/3 either.
Right.
especially the Colts one. The Colts one was,
yep,
whatever. And see, that's basically the only reason why they didn't have a problem with Modell going to Baltimore, because it's sort of
we
got that one done. And then when they decided to do the expansion, they just figured, okay, you know, they'll do Cleveland was the perfect thing, because it's the thing was, the NFL, you know, to his credit, the NFL did play games with the Raiders.
I believe that some of the games the Raiders lost, it was a hanky panky going behind the scenes.
You also got to remember
the whole implications of the merger, because people forget Davis was the commissioner of the AFL
at the
time of the merger, and he just thought immediately that he would be, you know, they made Roselle the commissioner of the NFL as a compromise.
Right.
He wound up going back to Oakland, but he was never happy about it.
He never forgot that shit.
He was never happy about that.
He thought that was the ultimate.
Documentary the Raider documentary.
Mm-hmm.
I remember this very clearly. When they gave the trophy to Al Davis, everybody waited for him to say what he was gonna say, because they were thinking he was gonna blast the NFL for doing what he's doing. Al said, I'm gonna be the good Al today. I'm gonna congratulate my team. Now, I thought, okay, if Al had gone off on national TV, what would happen?
What, you know, as much of a quote unquote maverick as he's been, you know, made out to be over the years, you know, he also was, you know, he also didn't have a problem playing the NFL's game. You know, it's documented, the whole thing with Eldridge Dickey, and excuse me, and also the whole thing with Bradshaw and the Steelers.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was he was a maverick to a certain extent, but, you know, he fell back on his whiteness when it was convenient for him. So,
definitely.
You know.
I just want you guys to know I was surprised I was when they read it, go, go. I was like, wait a minute, what are you guys doing? Like, they read it, go over the place. And remind me of my cousins in Baltimore. My cousins in Baltimore refuse to say the word cult.
Yep.
You don't bring up the word cult to my cousins.
That was no joke. That's right. Gary, when the Baltimore Stallions came in from the AFL, from the CFL, and I was there for a few games, as they were piling them in, their logo was being explained as to why they chose the logo they did. And every time the announcer got a chance, he would say, first and 10 for your Baltimore CFL, and everyone would say, Colts. I mean, they'd scream it with passion.
Yeah.
And the AFL, excuse me, the CFL at that time, the Baltimore CFL Colts were averaging almost 38,000 people in your home game. They were for real.
So what happened? What happened to them? They moved back together? What happened to them?
What happened is,
they put three teams in the U.S., and they basically tried to, you know, not so much go up against the NFL. They wanted to see
Newport, Memphis,
spread. And now Baltimore was the only one that was actually successful on and off the field. Remember, they actually won the league that year.
Baltimore did everything right. They had a half-hour program that explained the differences between CFL rules and NFL rules. They had the best food by far of any team in the league. I'm including NFL. The way they set up the press for food, that shit was on the point. You'd be sitting back bringing food back to your seat. crab cakes, fried chicken, beans and franks. I mean, the staff was almost all black. You could slip them a couple of bucks and you'd be walking home with food. It was just delicious. But anyway, yes, Baltimore had done everything they needed to do. Memphis was messed up because Pepper Rogers, the coach, said that the specs weren't NFL specs. So what the hell could he do? He messed that up. And Damon Allen was their quarterback before he went to the D.C. Lions.
Yeah.
The Shreveport Pirates, that was the third team, they were so unprepared. They had nothing that would give any indication that this was a viable, successful team. So they knew they were going to give up eventually by default. But the CFL expansion wasn't a bad idea. It was just bad timing. And unfortunately, they suffered for it. But the Colts, they were righteous. They changed their name out of respect for the league. In 94, they played the BC Lions in the Grey Cup. And I was at that game, too. It was an awesome game. Lee Pisacki kicked the field goal to set off, and BC won 26-23. Baltimore sacrificed their Colts name, and they became the Stallions. The following year, they won everything.
Oh, Stallions. That's what I remember. Yeah. I remember Stallions.
Yeah,
they
were
Stallions. What they wanted to do, 2 years there, Mike?
Yep, 2 years and change. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
wow.
They were, you know, Baltimore was still removed from, you know, there was still some emotional withdrawal. Matter of fact, didn't they also have, like, the original Baltimore Colts? They went all out. They definitely went all out because it was let's face it, it was a perfect storm for them because they had fans that were starved for them. And then when the Ravens actually came in, because I think the Ravens wound up doing, I think, 1 or 2 years at Memorial Stadium before they moved into their dig downtown.
They did. Yes.
Now, I could be wrong. Now, was attendance those last few years that the Colts were in Baltimore, attendance was down, was it not, or was it, or were they still selling out?
They were still selling out. Despite the fact
yeah,
that we know
what happened.
They sold out the last 2 years, and then Jim Spiros, who was a CFL exec at Holdings in Montreal, decided to move the whole operation to Montreal since they had been out of the loop and they weren't in the league anymore. So Montreal came in stacked with a new team. They had to give them opportunities to win games and get back into the league flow. Montreal did that. And for a couple of years, they were fighting with Saskatoon and the Rough Riders. And so who would win? They were there a couple of years, and they finally stabilized. They would have their home games at McGill University, which sees about 25,000. So they fit right in, and everything was settled. But it was because the Baltimore CFL Colts wanted to push football, and they wanted to push it right. They should have hired the guy who was their program guy and their general manager to run the league because he did a damn better job in the few years he was running Baltimore than the league was running their own teams.
And that leads me up to the next question for you guys. Buffalo Bills. Eventually, we're going to move to Toronto. We're going to move to Toronto. The Houston Texans have been rumored to be moving to Mexico City, Mexico.
For real?
For real. That's what I've been hearing. And the Jacksonville Jaguars have been going to London, England.
True.
Is this gonna work?
Look, the NFL, there's no league that has a harder head and a bigger payroll than the National Football League, and they'll make it work in a sense. Now, I will say this: I don't think Buffalo is going to do the Toronto thing anymore because I think now because of the success the last 2-3 years, I think at some point they'll get a new stadium. I think that's basically end of the day when you look historically at all of these moves, and it doesn't matter whether it's hockey, baseball, football, or whatever, it's always a thing of they wanted to get a bigger and better venue.
Yes.
So let's go back. Look, let's go back to the Brooklyn Dodgers. If the Brooklyn Dodgers basically had gotten what is now known as Citi Field, there'd be no New York Mets, and they would still be Brooklyn Dodgers. What's so gangster about most of these NFL moves? It's never been a thing of attendance. It's always been greed. Now maybe the Cardinals people have stopped going to because the Cardinals were already on their third city, because one day they were Chicago
right.
Cardinals, and then
Chicago,
they were St. Louis Cardinals, and
then they
wind up going to Arizona. But clearly, the Browns, the Browns were still drawing, the Colts were still drawing. I don't think the Rams' attendance went down even when they were playing in Anaheim either, But again, it just became a thing. It was a power play. Clearly, Davis leaving and coming back and leaving again was a power play because he got a sweetheart deal. Even like in hockey, Toronto The Toronto Maple Leafs, when Hal Bauer took over, they got rid of Foster Hewitt's old press, his longtime press box, just so they could get the luxury boxes into the old Maple Leaf Gardens, and then eventually they wound up moving to Air Canada. But most you look, even the Whalers here in Hartford, their attendance didn't go down. They wanted a bigger, you know, the thing with them was they were clearly the lead tenant, but they were never treated as the lead. UConn got more of a better placing than the Whalers did. Remember, the Whalers are playing 40, you know, the Whalers are playing 40, 50 games a year, you know, counting the playoffs.
That's right.
But they were never treated like that they were the lead tenant. And that's the main reason why they're in Carolina. And even with the ups and downs there, they've established themselves. Now, it helps that they won.
Yeah.
They had their ups and downs early on because they had to play in Greensboro before long. And even when they and even with the Whalers, when they when the Civic Center collapsed. And they had to play in Springfield. They took a hit, and even when the Civic Center was brought back, it took a little while because there was one. There was a lot of angst because of the whole collapse, but also, because, you know, when the Whalers came in as an NHL team, they basically the NHL in their wisdom. They messed up the whole blackout rules because, look, Connecticut, you had Ranger fans, and you had Boston fans. And see, what would wind up happening is if the Whalers were playing at home, Ranger games, Bruins games, and Islander games were blacked out in this area.
Whoa.
So, they were forcing you and see – If you know, when you sit back and think about how stupid that is, because remember, back then the NHL wasn't even half as popular then.
That's right.
It is now. And you were gonna and you basically were cutting off the fan base, three major fan bases for a team that was still, I mean, they had their fans, but you know, you were basically forcing them to watch one team. It was just dumb to the way they did. Now, thankfully, over the years, now those blackout rules now have been whatever. But
blackout rule. The Raiders are talking about suing the NFL for blackout rules. Well, because of the 81 season, they had 9, 10, 12 blackouts.
Yeah.
And Razor, wait a minute, we can't do this.
Oh, shit.
Every game was blacked out.
Yeah, because remember, they're in the same division with San Diego, so they had to block out the San Diego game. So that's and this was a 16-game season, so all the 8 home games plus
there was
the one game,
the Raiders went 2 straight years of blackouts. 2 years in a row.
There was no eminent domain money. That should have been a consideration. So they must not have paid anything for at least 2 years to be in the spot that they were in.
Yeah. But see, what's so funny is in many ways when the Rams and Raiders left, it probably made it better for L.A. football fans because there was no more blackout for them to watch anybody.
True. But now,
I guess with allegedly two teams in LA now, they probably don't get as many games. Well, I guess because you didn't have Sunday Ticket back then too, so that's the caveat because you know I always talk about how I was forced to watch the Three Stooges every weekend. Jets, Giants, and Patriots, and it was like whenever the schedule would come out, I would pray, God, I hope the Jets, Giants, and Patriots get a bunch of Monday night games because it means that you can see some games, you can see an actual doubleheader. Now, it was never a situation where you didn't have a 1 o'clock game like they did in Carolina a bunch of times. But there were some times when we wouldn't get a 4 o'clock game.
That's true.
If the Jets decide to play at 1 o'clock.
West Coast, and the Niners were home, that's all you saw. If the Raiders were home, that's all you saw because that was easy. You could get anything else.
This year it'll be the last year that the Raiders will be a home team in America. That's probably what had to do with the contract. Now what's Vegas? How many miles is it between LA and Vegas? Over 100?
Yeah, over 100.
Oh, okay. So yeah, well, there you go.
It's about a six-hour drive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good way. And see, it's even crazier in Carolina. And I don't know if it's been relaxed a little bit. I know when I was down there, there were instances where if Carolina was playing at 4 o'clock. You didn't get a 1 o'clock game, and to me that would be grounds to start the Civil War all over again without getting a 1 o'clock game. As far as I'm concerned,
having the voice to watch the Panthers, I loved because the East Coast, you were almost guaranteed a 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock out here. You're not guaranteed anything.
Gary, it's because those areas are guaranteed to push out numbers for the time being. That's why Philadelphia gets what they get, because if Philly was running a good game and they'd say at 4:25 or whatever fucking time it is, the game of the week, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
They're getting the game of the week. Philly's not just going to get one game. They're in a three-game zone. You get the 1 o'clock game, you get the 4-something game, and then, of course, you get the national eight whatever time it is game. There's certain areas that are deep for that. They won't deviate from that. And Carolina is one of those areas. And I heard Fred complain about it, and he's right. This is a team with a football team, but they're not going to get anything.
And it's kind of silly, too, because 5 hours to the south, you got Atlanta, and 5 hours to the north, you got Baltimore/DC. So you should not be getting shut out because this was like the whole NHL thing. Prior to the Panthers coming into town, you had Baltimore whatever fans, you had Washington fans, and of course you had Atlanta fans. So the fact that they basically tried to force you to watch the home team, it's like cutting off your nose to spite your face because, let's face it, the NFL probably is even more popular.
Carbondale, Illinois, which is the middle of nowhere. Anyway, I was in Carbondale, and the people were Cardinal fans, and the people were Cubs fans.
But that's old money. That's old school.
Well,
to be quite honest, in deference to these idiot Yankee and Red Sox fans, Cubs Cardinals rivalry is just as bigger.
There is enough.
Oh yeah.
Man,
yeah.
I woke up in there with a New York Mets cap on.
Yeah. Well, you know, it could have been worse. Now, what part of Illinois were you on? The north side or the south side?
It's way down near. It's down near.
Who were they closer to? Who were they closer to? The Cubs or the White Sox?
The closest St. Louis, the Cardinals.
Well, no, I'm just saying, of the Illinois teams, which one were they closer to?
Well, it's Illinois, but my city was in Carbondale, which is right near St. Louis.
You know, I get that, but I'm just saying, which one of the Illinois teams were they the closest to? Were they closer
the
to the White Sox or were they closer to the Cubs?
No, the Cubs.
Oh, okay. So if you came in there wearing a White Sox hat, you know, that might be grounds for sure. I mean, hell, if you wore a St. Louis cap, at least you could go run to the border, literally and figuratively, and hide out, you know. I think a lot of that also is just that whole anti-New York bias, which is justified. Which is justifiable because that's a national thing a lot of times. Now you were wearing a Met hat or a Yankee hat?
Yeah.
Now, if you're worn a Yankee hat,
this is back in 73, 74, 75.
Yeah. I mean, look, they may look at you cross-eyed wearing a Mets hat, but if you're wearing a Yankee hat,
all of a sudden,
it becomes a sequel to the Warriors. Pretty much after that.
Okay, I'll ask you guys which. In each sport, which is the most favorable team in all sports, basketball, baseball, hockey?
What do you mean by the most favorable team? I'm not sure what you mean.
If I went to North Dakota,
I mean, you're gonna get some Cowboy stuff. You're gonna get some because there are certain teams. Now, which sport are you talking? Are you talking strictly football?
All of them, football, baseball, basketball, hockey.
Well, see, North Dakota doesn't have any pro sports.
I would think
that they're more. That's more a hockey area. Maybe the Wild, maybe the Blackhawks, possibly.
Yeah.
I mean, they're closer to the Midwest than they are to the West, right?
Right. Yeah, they're closer to Chicago than they are to.
Maybe Red Wings, possibly. You know?
Yeah, Detroit. Yeah.
Yeah. And that because you know. Well, but see, even when they had their dead time, they were still popular because of their past. You know, they're one of the original six. So in a sense, they may have had maybe not a national following, but they would have had somewhat of a following. Even you know, it's sort of you know, all of those. You know, we always talk about when the you know that the Yankees dead period from 64 to like the CBS years, so to speak. And
yeah,
all of these quote unquote national franchises, they go through that dead period where after Lombardi left, you know, Green Bay Packers were pretty much till about, you know, I know like what was it, I think 72 they won the division, with Brockington and MacArthur Lane. But for the longest time up until I think like the strike.
Yeah,
season,
they were terrible.
Green Bay, the only difference between Green Bay and Siberia is that Siberia wears red.
It's true.
I remember Roy White. I'm so bad for Roy White. We had a terrible team.
Well, he hung out long enough to be a part of those early of those 70 teams.
Yeah,
he hung out long enough so that, you know, he was able to see, you know, now the Horace Clarks and the Jerry Kennys of the world it always seems with these national franchises, they go through a dead era for about 10 years or so where they're literally just god awful.
The New York Football Giants are going through it right now. This is the worst deal. I mean, you know, you make errors, but you don't make mental errors. No, the Giants are making mental errors.
But it's been the same ones, though. It's been the same ones. Whenever they go through the dead period, it's always been the same ones.
Yes.
It's indicative of who they're hiring. I can't watch anymore. I just can't do it.
It's indicative of who they hired and who they fired. They've been getting incompetent people there for years. And even in spite of the billions, you can't cover up incompetence.
The Giants and the Jets, you got two teams in the same stadium, and they can't be
attacked. Mm-hmm. Well, the Jets have been living off of Super Bowl III for so long that it's just not even funny anymore.
Yep.
Even the stretch with, say, like with Walt Michaels
and what happened to the lawsuit that the New York Giants and Jets were using the name New York in their stadium. And that's why you saw the uniforms never, the first 5 years, you didn't see New York in uniforms.
Well, no, they all, look, a lot of that is just the old NFL versus AFL.
That's it.
As well. That was good. I can see, because remember, if I remember correctly, out of all the inner division
all the inner city AFL, NFL teams, the I could be wrong. Weren't the Jets and Giants the last ones to finally play each other head up in the regular season?
Yeah, they were the last ones.
I think so, because they never even, you know, they never even played in the preseason. And it was weird how that, it was always weird how that played out, because, you know, when the Jets won that Super Bowl, was that either the first or second year that Tarkington was with the Giants, if I remember correctly?
Second year.
And they could never get out of their way. I mean, they were consistent, yeah. Like, you know, 7-7 or whatever. And like I think like in 1970 they went like 9-5. And Alec Webster got Coach of the Year strictly because they hadn't had a winning record since Dad was a baby. So, it was always weird. And even when the Jets had the chance to be sort of like the football team in New York, they never took advantage of it. Now, a lot of it had to do with that old money versus new money. But even this way, even when Namath, excuse me, because there was a 4 or 5 year period where Namath basically played like 2-3 games a year, and even
true.
Then they were still somewhat more popular than the Giants strictly because of, well, Namath is playing. Because, you
yep.
know, when Monday Night Football, you know, think of it, when Monday Night Football started, they had the Jets on a bunch of time. You know, the very first was Cleveland and Jets.
Yep.
My memory, I remember Joe Namath in a LA Ram uniform.
Yeah.
It was a game over in the Raiders or
the Chicago yeah, his last game against the Bears. It was like watching Unitas with the Chargers.
With Franco Harris
with Seattle.
Yeah, Roman Gabriel in an Eagle uniform. I said, come on, man. You gotta be kidding me, man.
Well, the funny thing was, and I think Mike remembers, that first year he was in Philly, they just missed making the playoffs, if I remember.
Yeah,
they did.
Yeah.
They called themselves the Fire High Gang. And it was between Charles Young, Don Zimmerman, and
yep.
other big receivers they had. Philadelphia was very competitive.
Yep.
Yeah.
I remember
they got to bring them back one weekend. That's all I ask. I mean, I know that. I want to see them, you know, if they're going to do, I know everybody does throwbacks at least once a year. They need to bring them back. I know they went 2-11-1 in those jerseys, but still, those were great jerseys.
Tony, I never wanted to see the uniforms ever again.
Yeah, and also
when the Eagles,
Michigan Wolverine knockoff.
Don't you ever be a banger again.
Oh, those things were ugly. And the thing about it is there's so many of them.
Green Bay, Brown, green, don't you ever be a, those three uniforms will ever be a banger again.
Yeah. Them and those Denver. Now, have the Raiders never used their black and gold for throwbacks ever, did they?
But they never
brought them back. Now don't bring back those 1970s ones with the silver number. I actually like those. So I remember the silver.
I like those too.
NBC said, look, we can't broadcast you the uniform.
They didn't have the. What they did was it was straight silver. What they did was they modified it. They put the black. they put the black background on it so that they were able to be seen. So that's how they were able to circumvent that. But it's just there's certain there's a great Facebook page called For the Love of Uniforms, and I love going there on and off because you'll see some of those old uniforms. You see, since we're a day away from the NFC and AFC, the Rams should have their asses kicked for the pajamas that they're wearing now.
You know what?
Those 1970s jerseys.
That's a classic uniform.
I never understood. And see, now they'll wear them once for throwbacks. Because matter of fact, they actually wore them in that Super Bowl versus the Patriots. That's about the only good thing that came out of that Super Bowl. But they're wearing fucking pajamas now. Wearing pajamas now. It's like,
isn't it interesting that the San Diego Chargers and LA Rams in the same arena with almost the same colors?
Well, the Chargers basically went, when 1994 was NFL's 75th anniversary, and that's when that whole throwback thing started because they went to their baby blues, and they were so popular they basically said, okay, we're gonna go back to them now. It started off as they would do it once or twice a year, but then I guess not too long after Spanos was bought out, they basically went back to their the baby blue. Now there's a little bit variations on it because they have the dark blue, they have the light blue, and what have you. But they went back to the old white helmet with the with the light bolt and the number. And I always liked those.
And
you know, their '80s version of it wasn't terrible, but it's just that everyone was so ingrained. You know, when you have a classic jersey like that.
Well, now
it's all about marketing because now everybody has 65. They've taken what the Pirates did and they've taken it to the extreme now, where everybody's got 100 different uniforms now.
Well, I would say that eagle white.
Just one time. I'm not saying they got to change up. If you're gonna have a throwback weekend, do that one uniform. That's all.
Exactly.
Those are cool too.
I put it this way. Anything but the all black. I'm not crazy about the all black.
I don't like the all black
don't
either.
Don't get me started with that.
There's only a handful of teams that can get away with all black.
True.
And I think, and even then, you don't have to, like, a few years ago, the 49ers came up with an all black. There's certain uniforms, there's certain color schemes where, no, all black just doesn't work. Now, to their credit, when the Kings went from the purple and
gold to the
black and gray,
it
worked out perfectly. Yeah, it still does. Matter of fact, They still basically have a basic color scheme. They wear them now on weekend. Yeah. Matter of fact, they brought back the mustard ones too. Oh well. Everybody's got. Because matter of fact, ironically, tonight the Hurricanes, it's Whalers night for the Hurricanes tonight. Remember when they and the, I think it was the Flyers, they basically went with the long sweatpants for a while. Now, to me, that was just tacky more than anything else.
Yeah.
You know?
And the Flyers are all black, too.
Yeah, but they don't wear them as much. They don't wear them there. They don't wear them as much.
That's from New Jersey.
I just want the NHL to go back to home whites and road colors, you know, because back in the day, I guess, you know, teams did wear the black jersey, their road jerseys, because, you know, if you remember, you know, Bobby Orr's, you know, iconic goal against St. Louis, they were wearing the black jerseys that day. I see, to me, it's like it defeats the purpose, especially in Winnipeg. When Winnipeg would have the playoff game and it would be basically white out, and they're wearing their blue jerseys. It's like, doesn't that sort of defeat the whole purpose of the whole white out I'm not the smartest person in the world, but, you know, if the home team's wearing white and your fans are wearing white, I would think that'd be a little bit more. It's sort of like Christopher Columbus putting together the NFC West, the NFC East with Arizona.
No shit.
All right, guys, we gotta take the big city. What you got for Rams and the Niners.
I'm going to go with the
Niners. I got San Francisco. I got the Niners all the way in this. Their defense really played well last week, and I think Matthew Stafford is too much of a turnover waiting to happen.
Niners. I just, you know, Cooper Kupp can only do but so much. He's not going to be able to save Matthew Stafford's ass this week.
It's very surprising. I want to see what OBJ does, because OBJ looked good last week.
Well, yeah, the thing with Miss Prissy is when he gets too full of himself, that's when it's a problem. But to his credit, he has, you know, once he got there and probably the best thing that happened to him was Woods getting hurt, because it basically forced them to, like, okay, well, we got to use him now. But the other kid on the other end, Jefferson, has emerged as well. I mean, look at it this way. I think both games will be close, but I just put it this way. As much as I respect Cooper Kupp, Debo Samuels is a beast. Debo Samuels can beat you in so many different ways, and I think he's the X factor in that game.
Well, I got Kansas City and the Niners, and
to me, I don't know if you guys feel the same way, this is going to be a tougher game because Cincinnati's not afraid of them. And to me, that's a good thing, because I think that'll bring out the best. I think that'll bring out the best in case. I'm still not, you know, Kansas City's defense is now, you know, back to that first year when they lost to the Patriots in the AFC title game. So I guess Honey Badger will be able to play tomorrow. At least I hope so. But if it comes down to them having to make a stop to win the game, I just don't know if they can. I'm picking Kansas City, but it's gonna be a fight.
I'm picking Kansas City because everything that me has in his playbook is now remembered by Patrick Mahomes. That was the first game where, in addition to being just perfectly played, he used every aspect of his offense. He threw about 8 screen passes. He threw about 10 outs. He even went deep one time. But he knows everything that's there, and his people are geared up for it. They know that Hill can score from anywhere. They know that Hartman can score from anywhere. They know that Kelsey will get you from third down to first down.
Right.
If he played even half as well as he did last week, they'll crush them today.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see them doing anything.
But to me, the X factor tomorrow is Joe Mixon. They've got to stop Joe Mixon.
Yes.
If they can't stop Joe Mixon tomorrow, it's going to be rough. Because Joe Mixon can take over that, you know, for as great as that rookie wide receiver is, and he is awesome. But to me, especially Mixon, to me, Mixon is you know, how they go, that's how far the Bengals will go, because they can run the ball. Now granted, the Chiefs also have Elair Edwards and the other Supernat impersonator as well. But I could see Mixon getting 100 yards, maybe even like 140, 150 yards.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, to be fair, that Cincinnati O-line still has a lot to be desired at times.
The D-line is hurting as well. They had a guy who was injured 2 weeks in a row. If Mahomes has any kind of time, they're going to be out of time because he's going to pick their ass apart.
All right, Michael,
what do you got to do with tomorrow night? Well, we continue our adventures in soul music and funk as we take it from B to C. And you know, as we go from A to Z, there's a whole lot more funk to come. So, just keep breaking back.
You're going to be doing all year. You're going to be all year doing this.
It may be all year, but anyway, it'll be tomorrow night, 9 o'clock.
All right, Tony, what you got?
I think I mentioned it earlier. If you happen to have ESPN Deportes and you're in a baseball fix, the Caribbean World Series is started yesterday. There's basically three games every day: 9 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and 7 o'clock. I was watching the day game today. And I'll probably try to watch a little bit of the night game as well. But if you need a baseball fix right about now, and again, and you have the ESPN Deportes, they're going to be showing all the games live. And as like I said, I think it goes on through the 3rd, because it started Friday. So yeah, from the 28th through the 3rd. And again, if you need a baseball fix. Now also, it appears that they're slowly but surely trying to get this thing squared away with the lockout. There's still apparently it's still a money issue. Surprise!
Man.
Surprise!
The rookie.
Oh yeah, yeah. We're probably going to get the universal DH. The only thing I hate is that apparently on AAA level this year, They're going to do these robo umps. And
Oh, no.
That's how, see, they always, with stuff like that, they always try it out in the minor leagues first before they put it on the major league. But, I mean, they don't, you know, it's like, you know, four steps, you know, like 10 steps forward, 86 steps back. As much as we bitch about the umpires, I can't, you know, I can't deal with global umps. You just can't. You really can't.
Right.
All right, man. Thank you for the honor today.
Yes, sir. Good
day.
No problem.
Go.
Take care, guys.
Take care.
See you next week. Same time.
All right, man. Mm-hmm.
And with the Vikings and one of my favorite songs, Hey Love.
Loving me.